If I was to say to you this morning, there are people in this room who, whenever I talk about looking past yourself, you get afraid. Anybody feel like, God, are you really going to come through for me? And you know, I'm a Christian. I've been around the church all my life. I've got hopes and dreams in my heart. So I've got things that I want to see come to pass. But actually, my position underneath it all is, you know, I can stand with the people of God and I can put my hands up and go, yes, praise the Lord. But actually, somewhere deep in here, I have a wee bit of a doubt that you'll actually come through in your word. Anybody give me a... Because if you do not respond to that, you should be up here preaching and I'll come and listen to you. All right? The truth of it is, this morning as I look at journey, I want you to understand, I want to hit today at the level of a fear that we all live in. And that fear is simply this. God, how can I be sure that if I make a step, if I start to change my behavior based on the promises that you have spoken into my life, if I refuse to live in the status quo anymore, but I actually take your word by the scruff and say, right, I'm going to go for it. How do I know that you're going to come through for me? Anyone ever been disappointed by God? Thank you for the honesty back there.
Right. Oh no, brother. I have seen the Lord move every time I pray.
Give me a break. Anyone been disappointed by God? Yes, thank you. Well, what are we going to do with that this morning? You see, last week I said, whenever you have a word from God, you have to mix it with faith. It says in Hebrews chapter 4 that sometimes, or in fact, not sometimes, it's a principle in the word that you have to take the word of God, mix it with faith in order for it to work. And some of us go, well, no, hold on a minute, brother. If God wanted it to work, he would make it work. Well, I mean, I could debate that one with you all day long about how God works in our lives. But the truth of it is this, that the words, the promises that God speak, according to Hebrews chapter 4, will be of no effect in your life, will not matter a jot, okay, in terms of seeing increase in fullness unless you take some faith. You take your ability to, grace has freed you to choose. You choose to act on the promise that God has spoken to you, and then you see the outcome. That's what I was talking about last week. The provision that you need is where God is calling you to go and not where you are right now. God sends the provision in front of you. That's why many of us are not seeing in greater measures the fullness of God in our lives, because we are so afraid of stepping out that we stay forever here whenever God says go there. You know, it's like, God, I'll go there whenever you guarantee me. Give me a cast iron, money back guarantee, Lord, that if I make these steps, then you're going to see me through. And until I see a wee bit of evidence, I'm going to stay put. But God always, as he looks after you here and now, the increasing measures of fullness, stages and steps to growth is always in a place called there, just in front of you. And that's what we saw in the story of Elijah. You know, momentum in your walk is really important. If you feel like this morning, actually, I'm in a wee bit of a rut. I'm in a wee bit of a, well, God. You know, God is saying you can build momentum in, but don't think that it's going to happen standing praising the Lord with the people of God. You know, you'll feel the encouragement of God, and then he'll say, right, mix it with faith. Go for it. I've spoken to you. I've given you a word. Now, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to move this out of the way, because if not, I'm going to fall, and that would be really embarrassing as I flip over the stage. You see, the thing for me is this. There's another application today about going on a journey that is for us as a church and also for you as an individual. I'm going to continue just on a little bit of the story of Elijah where I finished off last week. So get your Bibles. I hear the rustling. Okay, if you don't have a Bible, please get one and bring it with you, all right? Because it just helps if you're reading it. Let's read 1 Kings chapter 17. Lord said to Elijah, this is verse 8, go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. Remember that what we saw last week was that God had spoken to Elijah and said, Elijah, I'm going to meet for your needs. And I said that God will provide natural things supernaturally, provided there's momentum and you're mixing with faith. You will see God come through, but stationary people, people in fear, people who kind of go, yes, but God, those kind of people will starve to death, spiritually speaking. For Elijah, the stakes were he would have actually physically starved to death if he hadn't have moved. Why? Because God sent ravens to give him natural things supernaturally at the brook Cherith. Now, for many of us today, you know, we're not going to die of starvation. Okay, a wee bit of starvation might do me some good, you know what I mean? But the thing is, I'm not going to die of starvation, but spiritually speaking, there's absolutely every risk of that. And so God then moves him on. And this is the bit where God is then moving him on again. Go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I've instructed a widow there to feed you. So he went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks. And he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? Now bear in mind, this is a land that is in drought. Okay, so there's water is at a premium. As she was going to get it, he called her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, I swear, doesn't that sound awful, Belfast? Brings a wee bite of bread. And Elijah was from the Newton Orange Road. Then she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. And I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook the last meal. And then my son and I will die. But Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. Then what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Does this sound awful cruel? Here's a widow and her son who are going to die. And Elijah comes along and says, see what you've got left? I want it. I mean, can you imagine a teacher or a minister doing that today? Going to some third world country where people are starving and saying to people, see that wee bit of flour that the UN have brought you? Give it to me. There would be an almighty outcry, wouldn't there? It seems to our minds, this is ridiculous. Elijah, have you lost the plot here? But he says, but this is what the Lord, the God of Israel says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. An incredible story. And listen to me this morning, because this is one, I believe this morning, this is one of the biggest keys for change in your life this week. I'm not going to talk ethereal. I'm not going to talk up there and kind of some amazing exposition of the scripture. This is down, dirty, and practical, all right? When you look at this story, one of the ways that you succeed, one of the ways that you see breakthrough is you look to bless. You look to bless. Don't look down. Look up. Look out, look forward. And today I'm saying, look to bless. And everything inside you right now is going to go, uh-oh, and I'm going to default to my negative theological experiential position, which says, but I have a reason why this doesn't work. You've got to set that to the side, because this story is incredible. And the only way that this church survives and moves into its future is that we look to be a blessing. That our default position, and if you in your life are seeking breakthrough in your money, in your health, in whatever, do you know what the Lord says to you this morning? First and foremost, look to bless. Because you'll never get through to the journey. You'll never get through to the journey's end. You'll never see your breakthrough, and you will never come into it unless you have a heart to give away what God has given to you. Do you know why? God pours into you, and if he can get it through you, he will get it to you. Many of us are waiting for it to come to us, and then we're going to do something, whether it's money, whether it's love, whether it's forgiveness, whether it's serving. God, you back me up here, Lord. You get my back covered until it's all kind of sitting in the bank, and then what I'll do is I'll move from that position. Welcome to the rest of your life going around in circles, if that's the way you want to live. Honestly, there's such a better way to live this morning. In verse 8, God speaks to Elijah and he says, I have instructed a widow there to feed you. Again, what God is saying is, I said to you first, a place called there for you. I need you to go there to the brook. And now he comes into Elijah's life again. He says, right, I need you to go there now. The place that God has for us is always another step into the future. There is not a static place. What I want to say to you this morning is this. There are stages and steps to growing in God. And if you're not prepared to accept that, you will not grow. Get ready in your life. If you want to see momentum and increase, understand this. There will be a step and there will be a stage at every point where God says, go and do. And if you don't go and do what God says, you're going to stay on step one. I'm really trying to encourage you. You know, let's not live like with a Christian lottery mentality. You know that thing, okay? You know, the people who do the lottery, and if you're doing the lottery, fair play to you, okay? But it's kind of like, I want maximum return for minimal investment. That's the heart of people who play the lottery. And do you know what? It's brilliant. I talk to people, see when I win the lottery, oh, the church is going to be blessed. Yes, see what I'll do when I win the lottery, brother. Oh, see, that carpet will get changed. You need new things for, oh, I see when I win the lottery, when my ship comes in. But what it is actually, I want to throw a pound in and get millions back. Isn't that really what it is? What is it? As little as it takes to get as much back in return. Got to look at that. Some of us have that attitude with God. God, actually, I'm going to invest as little as I can, but I'm going to pray for as much as I can get out of you. I want to challenge that thinking this morning. Because God is calling us to understand that, you know what? If you were to actually get your wish, some of you right now, it would kill you. I sometimes find myself going, Flip, see those people who win the lottery? I think there's this thing in America at the minute, the jackpot's up to 600 million. Isn't that right? Well, apparently. Somebody told me that. And it is. It's making news all across the States, the super-duper lottery, whatever they have over there. And at 600 million. And God said to me, you know what? That'll probably kill 90% of the people that you know if that came into your life. There are steps and stages of learning to grow in God. Don't live in never-never land with if my boat came in, or if this happened, or if that happened, God, I would do. God is going to show you this morning the steps and the stages that are required for growth, required to be the man or the woman who year, week upon week, month upon month, grows in your capacity to steward the fullness of heaven. Because what we're talking about is not money's the least to God. Jesus described money as the least. We make it the, what Jesus is really interested in your life is, are you growing as a man or a woman able to steward the fullness of heaven, healing and anointing to see lives changed and transformed, the stuff that will last forever, to see cancers go, people saved, healed, delivered, to see people established in the love and the goodness of God so that they change not just themselves, but the generations to come after them. That's what Jesus described as true riches, and it's a process of learning to steward more of that. And here's the bottom line. Money comes as a result. So I'm going to talk today about look to bless. It includes your money. If you're sitting here this morning, God is going to be speaking to you about your money. Because actually one of the things about money is it can block the rest of everything else. But I'm not going to simply reduce this only to money. Because it's so much more than that. So much more than that. So does that make sense? Cool. What I love about this story this morning is the promise of God is really simple. God says to Elijah, I have instructed. Again, his forward momentum in Elijah's life was based on a word that God had spoken. Here's Elijah with a brook drying up. You might have barrenness in your life. Let me keep applying it to you. You might have dry areas, and God comes in with another word and says, Elijah, I have promised you provision, but it's over there. You need to move again. You need to keep going. The context for Elijah is, you know, there's a land of people dying, water's drying up, food's starting to dry up, and people are literally starving to death. And the word that God speaks is, in a land where there's drought as the norm, you are going to be provided for and you're going to be blessed. Hello, that's what he says to you this morning. I don't care what your financial position is right now. I don't care what the financial position is of people around you. It's not a bother to me. Why? Because you have a promise from God this morning that says, if you look to bless, you will be provided for despite the financial situation out there, despite what the job situation is. All of that stuff is earthly, kind of carnal thinking. And the Lord says, whenever I give you a word, in a land where there's drought, the word will bring you to a place where you will prosper. Does that encourage anyone this morning? Have you been looking at all around you? Because when the word comes to Elijah, you know, it was really important to him because this was life or death. You know, we also see here why it was so important for Elijah to do the first thing. Here's a big point. The steps and stages that God have for you in your life, well, there's a momentum that comes. Here's the first thing that we learned last week. When God spoke to Elijah, it was just about Elijah. Okay, here's a big thing. I'm going to explain why it's so big. Elijah needed to learn for himself that God was faithful to the words that he spoke. And as soon as that was banked, what God does, if you have anything in your life today, by the fact that you're sitting here on your backsides in church this morning, every single one of you has a testimony of God's goodness to you. Yeah? Okay. So what does God then do? The next step that God takes Elijah on is this. He says, go there and there's a widow and her son. You see, the steps and the stages in the kingdom of God is a process where God builds confidence in you so that the next stage is that you can pour it out to somebody else. Do you understand stage two in this journey for Elijah was, first of all, Elijah, I'm going to show you the promise. You're going to be fed, you're going to be watered, and you will not die. And then God says, start to move. And God starts to bring into Elijah's thinking, this is not just about you, Elijah. What I'm going to do in you and through you is going to affect somebody else. And he starts small. He starts with a widow and her son. But all of a sudden in Elijah's mindset and in your mindset this morning, if you have a testimony from God this morning of his goodness and his faithfulness, let me tell you the stage that you're in right now. The stage that you're in right now is God saying, okay, who is it around you and your place called there? The steps that I'm calling you to take, how is it going to transform and bless the people around you? Because that's what God does. You see the heart of God here exposed. God was leading Elijah to build his confidence and his trust and rely on the words that God spoke. But he was also saying to Elijah, I've got this incredible, incredible calling for you, and I'm going to unpack it bit by bit by bit, and you've got to go on each stage and each step with me, because if you don't, you're going to keep going back to stage one and stage one and stage one, and you'll never, in Elijah's case, see your Carmel moment, the bit where actually fire falls from heaven and the prophets of Baal are defeated and Elijah has this incredible victory. If you're waiting for the incredible victory in your life today, what I'm trying to say is do the steps that God has. And before long, you will find yourself in that place. You know, God called Elijah, just like he said to you this morning, to be part of something incredible for God. But he also knew that Elijah wasn't quite ready to steward what God wanted to do. And so Elijah was prepared. And I feel like you need to be prepared and we need to be prepared this morning to do the steps that God has asked us to do. And what's stage two? Stage two, sorry, I'm doing the fingers. Stage two is, I have a really good friend, a worship leader who used to do that. And it was really off-putting. We used to have to say, it was Robin Mark, okay? And they used to say, Robin, stop doing the fingers at people. And he goes, was I doing that? Anyway, so I'm really sorry. Stage two for the camera is God speaks into your life. And then he speaks into your life and says, you know what? Look past yourself. Elijah, the momentum in your life is not just about gimme, 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 gimme. The momentum in your life has to be as I receive, I flow, and I give it out. And the more that we learn to do that, the more we will see, the more we will have ourselves, and the more we will see transformed around us. Isn't that interesting? Your stages and steps are part of breakthrough for your life, but they're also breakthrough in other people's lives. Your kids, your grandchildren, your families, your friends, your neighbors, your work colleagues. God's heart has been exposed here this morning. He's telling you, you know what? You can change the situations that are close to you and the ones that are not close to you. As you learn, as you grow in trust and confidence, there will be people who will not die literally because you take your step to go there. Anyone feeling insignificant this morning? Anyone? Do you know the journey is? This widow, she was preparing to die. We've just read it. Now, if Elijah had just kind of gone, oh, well, you know what? I'm getting fed here. God, you know, that woman and her son would have died. And what grips my heart about this is this. I look at people, you know, Facebook and things like that can crack you up. Because you see at times situations where kids have cancer. Let me get real. People dying with cancer, horrible situations around the place. And I'm sitting here going, God, my journey is, as I am transformed, I want my church, I want this family that I'm connected with to be people who go, when we see the works of darkness, we are people who just don't go, well, I don't feel like it today. But we actually engage and see the kingdom of God come. But that only comes with the people who go, honestly, God, what you're pouring into me, this stage is about pouring it out. I have to look to bless. Elijah here was being put into a situation by God where he was saying, Elijah, look to bless. Look to take what I've given you and to pour it out. Now here, I need to go quick, all right? You know, God wants to transform you so that you're part of transforming other people. I have so many people in my life who inspire me today. And as they journey on with God and as they have their stories and their testimonies, it really helps me. And I want to say to you this morning, if you never step out, if you never do something new, if you never choose to bring in new habits and new forms of behavior, if you don't allow the grace of God that we preach about in here to drive out the fear, then you will never know the thrill of seeing the breakthrough in your life or the people around you. Oh man, I get really excited about this. All of a sudden, our summer scheme starts to take on a whole different dimension for me. I'm not looking at babysitting kids for 4 days. I've got four of my own. I don't need any more to babysit. That's the truth of it. Now, if you start to talk to me about the families that we're going to connect with, when we do our massive barbecue on the Friday night, and we're in the, you know, going to their houses and giving them stuff, and we start to pray and say, God, as we look out, you're going to use us to bless these families and see them transformed and to see them and their generations brought into the kingdom of God, saved from a destiny which is hell, and actually brought into the kingdom of light, all of a sudden, 4 days in August takes on a whole different meaning, doesn't it? Oh, man. Absolutely. Now, here's what I say. Look to be surprised. I believe that God is saying that we need to, as a church and in your life this morning, raise your expectancy of seeing goodness in your life. There is blessing, there is healing, there is joy, and there is peace. Why? But I think some of us miss this journey stuff because I think at times, and I'm guilty of this too, we don't see God work in unexpected places. You see, a widow, let me give you a detail here. The widow from Sidon, okay, that meant that she wasn't a Jew. She wasn't part of God's family, okay? She wasn't in covenant with God. The promises that God spoke over the people of Israel didn't apply to this woman. Now, if Joshua had have prejudged God in this story, let me give you an inkling of what I'm saying. God speaks and says, go there. What do? We prejudge the situation. We go one step ahead, and we go, well, hold on, God, let me just figure that one out. If Elijah had done that, what he would have, in his natural mind, worked out is this. She's a widow, not a person of influence, not really going to be able to help me. She's from Sidon. How am I ever going to receive a blessing from somebody who doesn't have a covenant relationship with God? God doesn't use the Gentiles. The promises, the covenant that God has is with his own people. So how's a widow going to help me? Do you get that? He didn't prejudge. He simply obeyed what God had said. If you prejudge the outcome, all right, you will miss God in the small details of your life and how he surprises you. It says this in Isaiah 55:11, in the same way with my word, I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all that I want it to and it will prosper everywhere I send it. I think God is saying to you this week, look for God in situations that you thought were hopeless. And you may have been there before because God is going to surprise you. You see, the thing is this. The thing for me is I want to encourage you. This week in your workplace, take the promise that God has given to you. Start to act on it. Start to speak it over people's lives and start to be a channel for goodness. Every time you do that, these verses tell you that that never comes back empty. Never comes back void. Never, ever, ever. Why? Because as you speak the word of God and you communicate the word of God to people around you, it will always accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. You see, I just don't want to preach the promises of God week after week. I want us to live them. You know, sure, look, we've got big challenges in our future. As a church body, as a church family, in your own life, you might have big challenges, but you know what? We've got a way bigger God than any challenge we'll face. We've got a way bigger victory that we're walking from than any challenge that we will ever face. And what God says is this. Elijah found in these wee moments, right, where he stepped out that in prejudging, he would have missed it. I think some of you have prejudged God based on your own experience. I know I have at times. God, I know your word, but here's the way it always works. Been there, bought the t-shirt, done it before. And God's saying, have you stopped looking for me to surprise you? Have you stopped expecting goodness? Have you stopped expecting to see mercy? Because God will take, I don't care, what I'm trying to say is I don't really care what your life looks like right now. God can do anything in the middle of it. But you've got to have that expectancy and that obedience to the word of God. Where's the grace in that? Oh, you're preaching law here, brother. I thought this was a grace church. Are you preaching here, Andrew, that, you know, we do, therefore God acts? No, what I'm talking about is grace positions you. When you stand on the word and you make steps on the word of God, you're positioned to receive everything that God has. When you're rooted in self, you're just going to keep banging your head off the wall, off the wall, off the wall. Now, can I just have a very quick look? Is this okay? Can I look at the widow for a wee minute? She's an incredible woman. Now, what I've said this morning is, not many of you will literally die this week from starving to death, okay? And if you're in that position, please let us know and we can sort you out. But what I want to do very quickly this morning, I want to speak into the hopes, the dreams, the desires, the plans that have died in your heart or are very close to being snuffed out. Because that's really what the widow speaks of this morning. Now, the widow, let me make it really obvious because we need to push our minds on this one. Here is a woman that understands loss. By virtue of the fact she's a widow, she doesn't have a husband. Now, why is that important? Because at times what we do is we think, you know, it's all right for them. See those Christians, ah, sure, it's dead on for them. Or these mighty people of God, sure, it's all right for them. This is an ordinary woman who lost her husband and is now about to die, all right? She's going to starve to death. The land's in famine. People are dying all around her. And when you look at this story, she's at the end of herself in the natural. Physically, she's got no food left. Her son has no ability to go out and get food or anything like that. So he's going to die as well. And it seems like she has lost hope. She's not dead yet, but she might as well be. Why? Because hope is gone. Anybody? Not going to die physically, but actually in terms of what I believe and expect about God, I'm not dead yet, but I might as well be. Dreams in the past, words that in the past, prophecy that God spoke into your life, and as circumstance upon circumstance, being in a land of drought around you, some of those things just die a little bit by a little bit by a little bit. And you may still have some life in your body, but for all intents and purposes, you know what? It's gone, baby, gone. That's what this widow was like. Now, she had a word from God. This is the amazing picture of what grace looks like to me. God told her to look after the prophet. Now, if I was that wee woman, to be fair, that would have perked me up a wee bit. I would have thought, here's me going out to die. God gives me a word and says, look after the prophet. And I would be thinking, as probably some of you smart people would too, well, hold on. If I have to look after this guy, it's not likely that I'm going to peg it anytime soon. No? That's the way I would think anyway. I would go, flip, if I have to look after this bloke, I can't do that if I'm dead. But even though she has this word from God, her head is still down. She's lost the sense of the word that God had spoken to her. But God still blesses her. Now, what was the key? Now, here's the main lesson. Despite her own weakness, despite her doubt on the word that God had spoken to her, it was in her giving that she would be sustained. Listen to me. This is the key to looking to bless. Understanding this simple point. It is when you look to give that you will be sustained yourself. That was the word that God spoke. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now that actually is talking about judgment. But the wider application is about everything in life, whether it's money, blessing, forgiveness, or whatever. It's a beautiful story. She's doing something seemingly mundane. She's collecting sticks for a fire. Because here's the point. Whenever God speaks to us, we tend to make it massive. It's nearly always about grand things. You're going to be Billy Graham. You're going to have millions of pounds to distribute into the kingdom. And when God speaks, what we do is we go to the end of the word and we multiply it and it's huge. But here's something way more simple, which I can identify with. This woman, not this is Elijah, just in his place called there. This woman is in her place called there. And there's a beautiful collision between the two. When she was doing something dead normal, collecting sticks, she wasn't out preaching. She wasn't leading worship. She wasn't seeing millions of people in Windsor Park come to faith. She was out doing what was nothing fancy. Let me hazard a guess. Your week this week might not look like anything fancy. Isn't that right? Looking after kids, going to work, doing church, doing all the rest of it. But what positioned this woman for her supernatural breakthrough was this. Whenever she had a word from God in the very normal things, okay, it positioned her for God to do something extraordinary. Again, what I'm trying to say to you is this. This week, whatever you're, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a housewife, whether you're doing whatever, working in the bank, whatever it happens to be, I believe God is saying, lift your eyes up today and understand that in the very mundane things, what looks like mundane, if you have a heart for it, if you have a view for it, God will do something extraordinary through you. But if you keep your head down, don't really care. Go to breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. God save us. You're going to miss it. Your job may seem insignificant, but I want to tell you, God has you there to speak a word. You might be working next to the next world changer. Looks mundane, but your life is anything but. Ladies, if you're at home this week with the kids, I want to tell you, you're raising world changers, history makers. Do not despise any of that. She could have had a different view that day. I'm dying anyway, so what's the point? In doing just what needs to be done, there is the potential for God to do something incredible in you. Do you understand that? But what is the heart in it all? The heart where God does something incredible is, even though this feels mundane, it feels ordinary, when my shift goes away from me and I have a heart to bless, it positions me to see God do something incredible. That's the story of this woman. There's a reason why this woman was chosen. This is a big one. I don't want to die halfway along this journey, naturally or spiritually or whatever. In the natural, this was her last day on earth. Her journey was coming to an end. It was very bleak. But why was this woman singled out? Why did she see a breakthrough in her circumstances that other people in this land didn't see? I want to tell you this. In her bleakest moment, doing the most mundane things, with no fancy this, that, and the other, do you know why this woman, I believe, was chosen for a miracle? She was a giver. She was a person willing to look past herself and give, and I believe that's why God singled this woman out. On her worst day, she gave and she served. Here's Elijah the prophet coming and saying, will you get me a glass of water? See, if Elijah the prophet had come to me and I was preparing to die with my son, I would have told him where to stick that cup of water in no uncertain terms. Anybody with me? I would have got all East Belfast on him and said, here, mate, what'd your last slave die of? And all that stuff. You know what I mean? Do you not see what is wrong with my life? Why did God do something incredible in her? She got beyond herself and she prepared herself for a miracle, positioned herself for God to do something incredible. Before she saw the overflow of blessing in her own life, there was an established principle that she was a giver. Oh God, not that. I'm not just talking about your money. But if you're struggling in your money and you're not a giver, hey, it doesn't take a rocket scientist this morning to work out why that might be. God's got all the provision that he needs, and if he can get it through you, he's going to get it to you. There was something that I believe that God is saying to us right now. It's this. We need a view like this widow. If you're a person that gives time, money, and self, then I want to say thank you. And you're going to see that come back into your life in even greater measures than what you could ever imagine. Now, how is that grace? How is that not performance Christianity? It's all about positioning. Understand this. There's a reason why some people seem to receive miracle after miracle. Do you know why that is? They step into them. They go there whenever God says to go there, and they position themselves for what God has prepared for them. Do you understand that? It's not that God loves them anymore. They're better than you and all the rest of it. There's a reason why some people do it. They get out of themselves and they look to others. And that's what God is saying to us right now. Take what you've got. Give it to God, your time, your money, your talents. Well, but I need to look after me. I'm this, I'm not able, I'm not that. My situation is whatever, da, 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 da. Live like that. Keep banging your head off the wall if you want, honestly. If you don't listen to this morning, I can't come down and make you listen. But listen to what the Lord says. Look at what happens in the story. I believe that we will see massive multiplication in this church. You will see it in your business. You will see it in your homes. But it starts when you give of what you have. Here's the point. You think, well, it's not enough. It's God who brings the multiplication. He starts with what you give. And his promise is this, that you will never do without, but you will see it multiplied and increased back into your life. I want to encourage you this week. Take what you've got. Mix it with faith. And go for it. Go for it. What is holding you back? Are you afraid? That's what I started off with today. Are you really afraid that God's not going to come through? Well, here's the point. The reason why I will not do that ropes thing is I would absolutely cack myself up there, okay? And I know people might say, well, if you get up there, brother, and have a go, and you would need to inject me with something. I'd be like Mr. T. You remember Mr. T in the A-team? All you young people going, but he never wanted to fly, so they had to inject him with stuff. That would be me, okay? And the people will say, the more you do it, the less frightening it gets. I dead on. There's not, do you know what I mean? I understand when fear grips. But what I'm appealing to this morning in you is this. If you don't want to keep living going around the same circles, If the mountains financially or whatever that you have seem massive to you and seem like there's no way out, I want to bring you back to a God who multiplies and blesses way beyond what you could ever hope or dream for. But what he says is start with what you have. Why? Because I'm going to take you through the steps and the stages, and as you learn and you understand, you know, quite frankly, if you're not seeing it right now, you're not ready for it. And so my heart's cry in my life is, God, I want to be ready. I want to grow each step of the way. And that's what we see here. It may not look like much, but put it into the hands of an incredible God. He can take it away to a place that you could never, ever imagine or think. You see, my faith this morning, this is what I'm trying to say, is my faith is not in what I have, but what he can do with what I have. Think about that. My faith this morning is not what I have right now. What God is saying to us as a church is, put your faith into what he can do with what you have. Look to bless this week. Bless this church. With your time, with your money, with your heart and your investment. Bless your families this week. Bless your bosses. Honor them. Do what you can with what you have. And take your focus off what is not working, where the drought is, where the hardship is, where the me is. And if you will take that step and look to bless somebody past you, I promise you, you will see it come back into your life. Why? Because all you've done, it's like a waterfall over here and you're in need of a good shower. And you kind of, I'm dirty, Lord, send me the soap. And God says, step into the shower. Boom. Now the shower was always there. You know, you asking God didn't switch the shower on of blessing, and all he said was move into what I have. Do you see that? That's grace. I positioned myself to sit under it. My last point is this, and I'm going to finish this talk off next week. Do you know there's a lie in the church today that says that whenever you give something away, it leaves you? I want to say this, that whatever you give to the Lord never leaves you. In fear, we think that what we give, we lose. In the kingdom of God, that's false thinking. Understand that whenever God asks you to be a giver and look past, it's not that he's trying to take something from you. He's trying to get something to you. Let me say that again. False thinking and actually performance thinking says that every time God asks me to give, what he's trying to do, he's trying to take something from me. I'm going to lose it. And what the Lord says actually this morning, understand this, every time he asks you to give and to bless and to look to bless, he's not trying to take it from you. He's trying to give it something more to you. Does that make sense? You see, in the widow's view here this morning, what God was saying is, you know what? You take what you have, give it to the man of God. Give it to Elijah. And you'll not die. In fact, you'll see provision upon provision upon provision. In fact, it says that there was always stuff left over. So not only did it go from three people going to die, three people were well fed, and there was always oil and flour in the container left over. It means that they never ran to the end of the supply. Isn't that really cool? What's our fear? Oh God, I can't give financially to the church. I can't give my time because I just don't have enough. And I definitely can't sow any money because I'm going to run out. Back to step one. Bang your head off the wall, live in fear. Or the alternative today is to go, the way that I will get to the end of my journey, the way that I will see increasing measures of God's fullness in my life is when I look to be a blessing. It'd be really remiss of me, actually, if I get serious for a wee bit, to simply say to you today, you know what? I utterly believe in the goodness and the promise of God, unequivocally. God does not want you poor. He doesn't want you struggling. Poverty is not a blessing in any way at all. It is a curse, and you have been redeemed from that curse. But I just don't want to say, so what you do is you stand and you claim. What you do is you understand that you are positioned for greatness, you're positioned for fullness, and that Jesus has that for you. And then you take steps and stages to see that increase in your life. If you try to get to the end of the story today and you're not ready for it, good fathers don't let that happen. It's a bit like, I'm just thinking of a story to finish. Probably like my son, Ben. I really want him to be able to drive. Okay, this is a really stupid illustration. Would I give him the keys of the car today? If you don't know Ben, he's 9 and he is totally wired. He loves life. He just goes for it. Okay. Can you imagine Ben driving off in Penny's Espace today? Some of us would like to see that actually. It's all right, Daddy, I've got this covered. Okay. What does a good father do? Oh, you know, God, you know, make it really, he could drive himself to school and everything. It'd be that easy, wouldn't it? Here you go, son. Good father goes, there's steps and stages to this, son, and you're going to have to grow into them. You'll get to your goal, but let's just take it one step at a time. Do you get what I'm saying? But the key for your breakthrough this morning is this. Where you have lack in your life today, whether it is love and forgiveness and mercy and grace being shown to you, if you're in your financial mess right now and your situation is difficult, I want to say, take what you've got. This woman was down to her last cup of water, her last wee bit of flour, and her last bit of oil. Only enough to make one cake and then die. She took what she had, she put it into the hands of a God who multiplies, blesses, and he sustained them, and they didn't die. Take what you've got this week. Here's my challenge. Every situation, every person, every moment that you interact with somebody this week, you have the opportunity to go, I'm going to sow into you. Whether it's a word of love and encouragement, whether it's financially or whatever it happens to be, I'm going to make my step two here, Lord. Knowing that as I make my step two, you're not taking from me, you're trying to get to me. That really helps me. See, my really simple way of thinking. Okay, thicko too good. What I think is every time the Lord, I feel that wee nudge and the Lord says, you know, go for it.
Oh, but Lord, hold on a minute. Let me just rationalize this and have a word as to why you're not right and all that stuff that goes through your head. And then the Lord says, no, Andrew, I'm not trying to take it from you. I'm just trying to get more to you. I'm not trying to take it. I'm trying to give to you. I'm not trying to take. I'm trying to give. That gives you a totally different dynamic on what it means to be part of this kingdom, to make your life count. Look to bless. This journey will only see increasing measures of God in it for you and for us when we're people who look